Hello and thanks for joining us for this WTTW News Special. I'm Brandis Friedman. Tonight we're focusing on the Chicago Police Department's progress on the consent decree and concerns over officer use of force.
Chicago police were found to have routinely violated Black and Latino residents' constitutional rights.
We hear a lot about it, but what exactly is the consent decree and how does it work? Plus, we get a status update on where the department stands in complying with that federal court order and what 4 years of data reveals about officer use of force. First off tonight, increased public investment in community violence intervention, CVI for short, has led to greater public safety and continuing declines in shootings and homicides. That's according to a new report by the Government Alliance for Safe Communities. The report found participation in services provided for CVI increases with public investment. Public investment in CVI goes to the communities with the highest levels of violence, and Chicago communities with the highest average level of public investment in violence intervention saw the largest gains in public safety. This report comes as the city closed out 2025 with its fewest recorded homicides in 60 years. For more on the report, check out our website. Pharmaceutical manufacturer AbbVie is expanding its footprint in North Chicago with two new facilities. Construction is set to begin this spring on the buildings that the company says will integrate advanced manufacturing technologies with artificial intelligence to support production of next-generation neuroscience and obesity medications. The company says the $380 million investment will also create 300 new full-time jobs for engineers, scientists, manufacturing operators, and lab techs. AbbVie says it should be up and running by 2029. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the moment you've all been waiting for, the winners of the 4th annual Chicago Snowplow Naming Contest are in. Drum roll, please. Okay, maybe no drum roll. Abolish ICE, which is a play on words obviously linked to opposition of President Trump's mass deportation efforts. Stephen Colbert, Pope Frio XIV, the Blizzard of Oz, Sven Cooley, in reference to the popular local horror movie host Sven Cooley, a.k.a. Rich Cause, and Caleb Chilliams. Get it? Chilliams. One snowplow in each of the city's six snow districts will receive one of these names. City officials say they received 39,000 entries and more than 13,000 voters. The mayor's office awarded an honorable mention to Chance the Scraper, which finished less than half a percentage point behind the winners. Up next, we explain what the consent decree is and how much progress CPD has made on it right after this.
WTTW News coverage of policing and police reform is supported by the Joyce Foundation.
On this program, we focused a lot on efforts by the city, the police department, and the community to forge a better relationship and work together to build a safer city. One thing we've been following closely is the consent decree that the Chicago Police Department has been working under. But before we get an update tonight on CPD's progress with the consent decree, let's take a step back and explore exactly what it is and how it works. Here's Heather Sharon with this edition of WTTW News Explains.
The dashcam video of the murder of Laquan McDonald captured one of the darkest moments in the 190-year history of the Chicago Police Department. In response, Mayor Rahm Emanuel promised there would be, quote, no U-turns on the road to reform. But since city officials inked the 2019 police consent decree agreement, the effort has hit pothole after pothole. The consent decree is a binding court order granting a federal judge oversight of the police department. It was designed to correct the problems outlined by an investigation by the Justice Department, chiefly that Chicago police were found to have routinely violated Black and Latino residents' constitutional rights. While a consent decree can be a powerful tool to reform police departments, it's complicated. Here's how it's supposed to work. after the Trump administration washed their hands of the reform effort in 2017, the Illinois Attorney General's office and a coalition of police reform advocates sued the city to force changes to how the police department operated. That agreement requires the Chicago Police Department to change the way it trains, supervises, and disciplines officers. The department must come up with new policies, which are evaluated by the judge at three levels. Preliminary compliance means officials have finalized written policies addressing its failures. Secondary compliance means a majority of officers have been trained on those new policies. Full compliance means that the department has demonstrated that it can follow those rules over a period of time under the judge's oversight. Progress is monitored by an independent team of experts on policing and reform appointed by the judge to be their eyes and ears. Since it was put in place, the consent decree has been expanded three times to address new scandals and allegations of misconduct, and it is set to expand again to include traffic stops. Originally, city officials had until the end of 2024 to comply with the consent decree's 552 paragraphs. It didn't happen. Now the consent decree, which is expanded to 714 paragraphs and counting, won't expire until at least 2027, giving the city more time to fully comply with its requirements and convince the federal judge the problems won't reoccur. At the same time, police union leaders say the consent decree has made it tougher for officers to enforce the law and apprehend criminals by imposing a layer of bureaucracy and fear on everything they do. After making only incremental progress during the years of the consent decree, some are concerned that the opportunity for lasting reform is slipping away, and city officials haven't yet demanded police brass hit the gas. The city's reform push might not have pulled a U-turn, but it's still far from the finish line.
And you can watch more from our WTTW News Explained series online. While you're there, you can also check out a special section of our website, Exploring Policing in Chicago. That's at WTTW.com/policing. As we just heard, it has been more than 7 years since city officials agreed to put the Chicago Police Department under federal oversight. So where does compliance of the consent decree stand today? Heather Sharone is here now with the latest. And Heather, you covered a very rare Saturday hearing in federal court that was focused on the consent decree. What prompted this session?
Well, U.S. District Judge Rebecca Pallmeyer usually holds monthly check-ins on compliance with the consent decree on Tuesday afternoons. But that means members of the public who have to work can't participate in those hearings. So she scheduled a Saturday session to allow members of the public to call in and speak to her directly about the impact of the reforms and the consent decree push.
What did she hear from Chicagoans who, you know, called in to testify virtually?
Well, for 90 minutes, she heard deep frustration from about a dozen Chicagoans who said the reform push that, of course, started 7 years ago and has cost the city tens of millions of dollars, if not more, has had little impact on their daily lives. They said they were deeply frustrated that Chicago police officers are using force more often and are disproportionately likely to use that force against Black and Latino Chicagoans.
And how did Judge Pallmeyer react to hearing this?
She said she shares their frustration and said the pace of reforms have been, quote, too slow. Now, this is the first time since December 2024 that we've heard Judge Pallmeyer express any kind of frustration with the pace of reforms. And that can come with perhaps new requirements for the city to meet or an order to accelerate their efforts.
Okay, so what's next?
Well, we'll get the next report from the independent monitoring team about the police department's progress in early April. As of the last report, the police department was only in full compliance with 22% of the consent decree. And oh yeah, that decree is about to expand with traffic stops to be included, but we don't know precisely how. We haven't had an insight into those negotiations for nearly a year.
Okay, Heather Sharone, thank you so much.
Thanks, Brandis. Mm-hmm.
And you can read Heather's full story on our website. It is all at WTTW.com/news. Chicago police disproportionately used force against black Chicagoans across more than 8,000 instances from 2020 to 2023. That's the main finding of a study conducted by social scientists from the University of Texas at San Antonio and the University of Pennsylvania, commissioned by CPD. The study was recently made public following a Freedom of Information Act request by a coalition of police reform groups and has put renewed attention on CPD's efforts to comply with the consent decree. Joining us now are Alexandra Block, director of the Criminal Legal System and Policing Project at the ACLU of Illinois, Krista Noel, founder of Women's All Points Bulletin, an organization supporting women victimized by police violence, and via Zoom, Michael Harrington, co-chairperson of Network 49, a community organization based in Chicago's 49th Ward, advocating for police accountability. We invited representatives of the city who declined to join us and the Chicago Police Department, which did not respond to our request. We thank the three of you for joining us. So, Alexandra, starting with you first, because that study found that 73% of the time that officers used force against a member of the public, that individual was black, and that among Chicagoans suspected of a crime, black individuals had a 52% higher risk and Hispanic individuals had a 33% higher risk than white individuals. How did the study reach these findings? What's the methodology?
The study looked at the Chicago Police Department's own data. They looked at the use of force reports that officers fill out every time they use violence against a member of the community. And like you said, they found that number one, uses of force are increasing. So over the 4-year period of the study, by the end, more people were being hurt by the police than when the consent decree began. And they also found, as you mentioned, that black and Latino Chicagoans had a much higher likelihood of being victimized by force. And that was true even if you account for the fact that black and Latino people in Chicago are more likely to be arrested and are more likely to be suspected of crimes or more likely to live in police beats where the crime rates are higher. Even accounting for all of those factors, the rates are racially disproportionate, and that is a systemic and unexplained disparity.
What's unique about this particular study? Because we hear a lot of reports about use of force. Why is this one important?
It was required by the consent decree. So there was a court order that the Chicago Police Department had to analyze its own data. And the Chicago Police Department is also required to take steps to address the results. And as of right now, we have seen no evidence that the Chicago Police Department has changed any policies or training or examined any operational changes that they are going to make in response to these really disturbing findings.
Yeah, okay. We're going to come back to that part as well in this conversation. Michael Harrington, your organization, Network 49, you all are part of the coalition of reform groups, and you submitted the FOIA request that ultimately led to this study being released. What was your initial reaction to the release of this study?
I'd say we're glad that the police department did the study. We're not happy that we had to force them to release the results of the study. The results of the study showed a whopping huge increase in, over the years, more recently, against black and Latino residents of Chicago. Myself, my neighbors here in Rogers Park are concerned about that. We think that it is long overdue for the Chicago Police Department to get serious about implementing the Chicago Police Department consent decree. We've been working with the court, authorized by the court, to help monitor this for 7 years. And some of us have been involved in it for over a decade. And we've spent thousands of hours in working with police department brass on improving policies and practices. The meetings have been polite. Unfortunately, we're not seeing any progress. We get a lot of nice words, but we get roadblocks, we get obstructionism, we get resistance from the police department on making major improvements. The improvements that they've made have been small. They've been easy little things. We're looking at the substantive, fundamental issues of why this institution continues to not pay attention to the fact that we cannot have racial discrimination, we cannot have bias against people with disabilities and youth. And the study shows that even in white communities, black and Latino people get grabbed first. No charges, no reason, illegal searches. This is a century-old problem.
And Michael, I know you shared with our producer as well. You've had your own experiences with the Chicago Police Department as well. Kristen Noel, I want to get you in here. What was your reaction to hearing the results of this study?
It's them, you know. It's the Chicago Police Department. It's what the DOJ said, you know. So it's them. They're a racist group. They're a racist institution, and that's who they are, and they continue to be that way.
So you feel like they've made, I mean, you know, you're not surprised by any of this because this is, it is a reflection of what we heard from the Obama Department of Justice years ago after the release of the video.
Absolutely.
In which Laquan McDonald was
Absolutely.
Killed.
Absolutely. So we've been doing a lot of work around it, and we just don't have their buy-in yet. You all said it. They feel as if it's holding them back, you know, because at their core, they're racist.
Alexandra, the independent monitoring team that tracks CPD's progress towards consent decree compliance said in a statement, quote, CPD has not yet used the results of the report to identify and address any trends that warrant changes to policy, training, tactics, equipment, or department practice as required. You mentioned this earlier as well. It sounds like then you agree. Do you think that CPD is failing to act on the results of the study? They've had it for a year now.
They've had it for a year, and CPD has done nothing in response to the study as far as we know. And that really reflects the lack of progress with the consent decree overall. It's not meant to be a check the box exercise. It's meant to change the way people in Chicago throughout the city are experiencing policing on the streets. And it hasn't worked yet. What the coalition that enforces the consent decree has demanded is that CPD agree to measurable decreases in the use of force and measurable decreases in the racial disparities of who is subjected to force so that we can know and measure a decrease in the violence that people are experiencing on the streets.
Krista, your organization, the All Points, the Women's All Points Bulletin, was one of the organizations responsible for putting Chicago under the consent decree in the first place. Lots of other organizations and advocates, they've expressed frustration, as we heard from Michael Harrington, at the lack of progress from CPD. But you've said that compliance is going to take more time. Tell us more.
They have been a racist organization since the beginning of policing, right? So we know policing in America goes back to the slave patrols. So we know that at its foundation, at its core, it's a racist organization, okay? It's a racist institution. So how do we move from them being a racist institution, and they're, what, 200-something years old they've been around? How do we move quickly from that? You can't do that. Okay, you can't change 200 years worth of racism in 7 years. It's gonna take a while, and it's gonna take buy-in, and it's gonna take change management, right? And change management is not a quick process. So on one hand, I understand that there's, like I said, you know, we're acting like we're in a 100-yard dash, right? And we got 9.8 seconds to get 100 yards, but we're in a marathon. Okay, and it's gone, the 28 hours of a marathon is, I think, 28 years may be what we need. At least 10% of the time that they have actually been in existence to change the racism that's at the core of police departments.
Michael Harrington.
Brandis, I'd say what's really sad is the Chicago Police Department has had this information, these new statistics about the horrendous increase in police use of force against Black and brown people. They've had it over a year. We met with them in January, just like 5 weeks ago, to talk about it. They said, oh, we need to study it more. We need to study these results more. We need to find out why it's happening. You know, we don't need another meeting to plan a meeting to talk about maybe an agenda. We need action. We need Mayor Brandon and Superintendent Snelling have made promises and pledges. The words are nice, but we need to see some product because this is multiple millions of dollars that are being spent on policing on this consent decree. If people can't get on and support progress because of the moral issues that are here, they at least need to pay attention. Every one of your viewers needs to pay attention to the financial cost. And is it being wasted? I hope to be proven wrong, but I'm doubtful.
Alexandra, critics often argue that the higher police use of force rates against Black and Hispanic Chicagoans is a reflection of higher crime rates in the neighborhoods in which they live. And this came up a little bit earlier, but I want you to say a little bit more because the study controlled for that as well as other factors. Tell us about that.
That's right. This was a methodology that CPD agreed to use, and they controlled for crime rates, they controlled for arrest rates, and they controlled for the rates at which Black and Latino people are suspected of committing crimes. And what the researchers found is that none of those factors explained away the racial disparities, so that they are systemic and they are not related to crime rates. They are related to bias. They are related to structural problems and systemic bias within the police department. And that's the factor that the coalition really would like CPD to address, which is what are the operational changes they can make in terms of how are police interacting with community members to prevent and reduce these racial disparities, these stark racial disparities in future years.
Krista, you know, one of the things that you've mentioned is, you know, referring to the CPD as a racist organization. I'm sure the folks at CPD would have some thoughts on that phrasing. They are welcome to come and join us and talk to us about it. I guess I want to talk or hear from you a little bit about, you know, there are officers of color on the force as well. What is it about their training, the messaging that they are receiving, the culture that still makes it what you say, what you're calling a racist organization?
Well, one of the interesting things is that my focus has been on sanctity of life, right? And there was a point that it was historic, right? They killed two people one year, and another year they killed three people, and last year they killed nine people, right? So they're going backwards, right? And surprisingly, it's in Trump's administration, right? So you have these guys, and even I've even heard from officers of color that you turn blue. It's not about black, white. You turn blue, right? You see these awful things, right? And you just turn blue. And everybody's all together and it's the old boys club. And, you know, the old boys club is a racist club. So, you know, that blue is racist.
Where do you think CPD has made progress on the consent decree?
They went backwards.
No progress in any of their...
They went backwards.
Anywhere.
They went backwards. The first and foremost, if they can't stop shooting and killing people, then they can't do anything else. So we got them down to 2 and 3, and we were feeling good. We were feeling good. And then they went back up to 9 in an administration that is arguably one of the most racist administrations that we've ever experienced in the last, I don't know how many decades.
Michael, it sounds like you want to add something.
No, I'm just saying the irony is that the Chicago Police Department has a huge budget, you know, $2 billion a year. They've hired, you know, where's been progress? They've hired more staff for the Office of Constitutional Policing. They have beefed up the public relations and the communication, but we don't see the changes apparently that are necessary in officer training. We don't see them evaluating whether the officers have actually learned what they've been taught in training. There needs to be, and the report that came out said there needs to be more supervision of officers. Again, we see the police department talking, but we don't see the resolve to make action happen. That's all I want to say. It's becoming comical almost.
Alexandra, as of June 30th, 2025, I think we should get some new numbers sometime this year, CPD reached preliminary compliance with 94% of the consent decree, secondary compliance with 66%, and full compliance with 23%. Does that signal progress or shortcoming? This is the last word. You've got about 45 seconds.
It signals that CPD has made progress on paper, but not much progress on the streets of Chicago. So the last 7 years, we've seen a lot of negotiations over policy, over training curriculum, and, you know, some of that is shown in the figures that you provided. So the 94% preliminary compliance means they've written 94% of the new policies that are supposed to be on paper. but they're struggling and failing at translating those policies to actual behavior changes.
To increase that 23% to show that they are actually doing the stuff that they've written down in that first part that you mentioned.
Exactly.
Gonna have to leave it there. Michael Harrington, Krista Noel, Alexandra Block, thanks to all of you for joining us.
Thank you so much
for having us. Thank you.
And we're back to wrap things up right after this.
Chicago Tonight is made possible in part by the Alexandra and John Nichols family, the Polk Brothers Foundation, and the support of these donors.
And that's our show for this Monday night. If you're looking for more context on the complicated issues that matter most to you, sign up for our email newsletter, The Daily Chicagoan. You can do that at wttw.com/newsletter. And join us tomorrow night at 5:30 and 10. Now, for all of us here at Chicago Tonight, I'm Brandis Friedman. Thank you for watching. Stay healthy and safe, and have a good night.
Closed captioning is made possible by Robert A. Clifford and Clifford Law Offices, a Chicago personal injury and wrongful death firm, righting the heaviest wrongs for more than 40 years.